It's good to see all of you. I'm going to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, as we continue studying through this wonderful account of our Lord and Savior and his ministry here on the earth. If you need a Bible, one of the ushers, they'll bring a Bible right to you. Just raise your hand, and they'll put that Bible right in your hand. So we are in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and let's pick up in verse 38. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, that is the Lord, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Father, we thank you for this time that we can worship you and now get into your word. And by your spirit, I pray that your word would have such an effect upon our hearts and our minds that it would encourage us and build us up in our faith. It would point out things in our lives that need our attention, need correction, or we pray that you would cause us to have a greater understanding of what's important to you. I know you would cause us to grow, that we would experience, as a result of our time here in your word, growth, more single-focusedness. And God, we thank you that you're here. Certainly we can't see you with our eyes, but by faith we believe that you are here in the Spirit. And so we thank you for your presence. Lord, now as we just study through this text, we pray that you would have your way in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a very short little vignette, and we're continuing our study. This is part number 4 of a study that I've entitled Harvest Workers, Harvest Workers. And this chapter, it starts out with working, serving. And the Lord is preparing his disciples to go out and do a short-term missions trip in which they come back. And we've studied through these different little vignettes of Jesus discipling his disciples and even chapter 9, teaching us the cost of true discipleship. And also chapter 9 has a lot to do with serving. And the reason why I bring this up is because there's a lot of serving taking place. And then here, in these few little ending verses of the chapter, we see Jesus say something that may seem confusing. And so we want to bring clarity to it. He says in verse 42, one thing is needed. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part. So here's the question. Is Jesus saying the main thing is just to sit at my feet and don't serve me? And some people might think in their minds, well, I've been so busy serving, I'm going to step down. I'm going to quit. Because this says one thing is needed, and that's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, and that's all I'm going to do. Well, I certainly don't want anyone to leave with that thought or feeling like that's what the Lord showed me. Because if we know anything about our Lord, he was one who served. Remember what he said, for the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to lay his life down as a ransom for many. The chapters here, they're all about serving. And so this little vignette is not in any way, shape, or form teaching that serving is not important, because serving the Lord and serving God's people is very, very important. And to be a disciple of Christ is to be a servant. And so we want to just make sure that there's no confusion here, that Jesus is saying only one thing is needed, and that's just learning from me. And that's it. You don't have to serve. Because if some of you might be thinking, wow, this is my way to step down, I want to encourage you, no, don't understand this as confirmation to stop serving. And so what is this about? What is the lesson for us? I'm sure if we were doing this devotionally, all of us are different, and maybe we can take different things home personally. But this is fitted here. This is here in this chapter. And it certainly does help us as harvest workers. And so it helps us to see things that are necessary in order for good or for faithful service, because those things work hand in hand. And in other words, when we sit at the feet of Jesus and we learn from him, that's where true, spiritual, fruitful, faithful service comes from. All true, faithful, fruitful service comes from sitting. And so what I want to just drop into your minds is, I want to drop in that we can learn here that there's a time to serve and there's a time to sit. And we shouldn't be serving when it's a time to sit. We should be sitting when it's time to sit. And then from there, in those times of serving, we should be serving. Now, we're going to develop this more, and I want to go through and just pick out just quite a few different things here as we just go through the text expositionally. And then we're going to answer the question, and we're going to look at, what are the signs? What are the signs that a person has gotten themselves to a place where they're no longer sitting at the feet of Jesus, so to speak? They're no longer personally taking time to devote themselves to Christ, because that's the primary thing. You know? There's a lot of service that can take place, but it's not coming from a place of devotion. And all of our service, no matter how challenging at times it can be, it should be a overflow and a byproduct of our time spent with Jesus. And so what does it look like when a person has lost their focus and they're no longer focusing on the primary, and the secondary has become the main focus? There's some very specific signs. So let's go ahead, and it says in verse 38, "Now it happened as they went that he," that is Jesus, "entered a certain village." So the "they" here are the disciples of Christ, at least the apostles. And right after, or rather right before this, there was the missions of the 70 that went out, or the 72, either one. And so it could at least have all of the apostles and perhaps even some of those disciples that went out in that second missionary short-term trip. So I would say there's quite a few people here. And they went to Bethany. That's the town that they're in, because that's the town that Martha and Mary and Lazarus were from. And so they're in Bethany. And there's this certain woman named Martha. And we really don't know the backstory. We're not sure how this connection was made. Perhaps as the harvest workers went out and they were going to the different towns and villages and preparing the people for Jesus' coming, I'm not certain that they would have made it as far as Bethany. Bethany was very close to Jerusalem, and at this time Jesus had his heart set to go to Jerusalem. He knew that it was just a short time before he would be facing crucifixion. But you know how word travels, and Jesus was a prominent figure at that time, and he always has been. He's the Lord to us. But at that time, his ministry was growing and exploding, and everyone was hearing about him. And so as some of the disciples went out, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they reached certain towns, and then people just kept communicating, "Hey, Jesus is going to be coming. Jesus is going to be coming." And somehow Martha heard about the coming of Christ, and hospitality in that culture, in that time, it was a huge thing, and it was an honor to have a rabbi in your home. And so I'm sure there's no doubt in my mind, Martha already had maybe never met Jesus personally, but already believed that he was the Lord. At some point, she heard about the gospel as they were going out preaching the gospel. Somehow she heard, and she, when she found out he was on his way, somehow she connected with him, and she opened up her home not only to Jesus, but also to all the apostles and those disciples that were with him. So when we look at Martha, we want to make sure we don't look at her in a negative sense, because I think Martha, she loved the Lord. As it says in verse 40, she knew the Lord, where it says, "Lord." Now she said, "Don't you care?" But she felt comfortable enough. She had a personal relationship with him, and she called him Lord. And so she was hospitable to the Lord. She called him Lord. I believe she was a believer and a solid believer, and it wasn't an issue of faith. This wasn't an issue of her faith. I believe her faith was solid. It was more an issue of focus. And sometimes that happens to us. We love the Lord. We welcome the Lord in our home. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we, as believers, we love the Lord. We love to serve the Lord. We love to serve God's people, just like Martha. But sometimes we can lose our focus as well. And I think this was a matter of Martha losing focus. And so it tells us in verse 39 that she had a sister called Mary. Now Martha was hospitable, welcomed Jesus in, and Jesus is there, and what's happening is there is a service going on. Jesus is teaching God's word. And it tells us that her sister Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, that word also, that implies that there was a lot of people sitting and hearing. It was a time to sit. And there's no doubt that not only the apostles and disciples were there, were probably a lot of folks that Martha knew in the village. Because oftentimes when a preacher came into a home, people would come and listen to the preaching and the teaching. So imagine a room. I have no idea how many people were there, but imagine a room like this. And Jesus is teaching, and all the others are also sitting and listening to Jesus. Now, it's a rare thing. That is, Jesus didn't go. This is probably the first time Jesus went to Martha's house and was in that area. It was the first time he was in her house, and it was a rare thing, and Mary saw it for what it was. This is not going to happen much. Jesus is here. He's teaching the word. This is a time to sit at his feet and learn from him. And oftentimes that's how it was. Disciples sat at the feet of the rabbi to hear the teacher. And this was also an amazing thing because Mary was sitting at the feet. Usually women weren't allowed. But Jesus broke those kinds of cultural things. And so here Mary as a disciple, she's being ministered to by the teaching of the Word of God with everyone else that was there. Now, we come to this awesome word. It's a little three-letter word. It's the word but. Whenever you hear that but, you know things are about to change. Something's going to happen here. It seemed like everything was great, right? Martha's extending hospitality. Jesus is there. Who knows how many other people are there? And there's a Bible study going on. A lot of folks are sitting, being ministered to by Jesus. Mary's being ministered to by Jesus. But Martha was distracted. She was distracted, it tells us, with much serving. See, this was a time that Martha should have been sitting. She shouldn't have been serving. This was not a time to serve. This was a time to sit. You know, there's other times in the scriptures where people, Christians, believers, aren't discerning the time. There's a time to move, and then there's a time to pray. And do you remember that time when God was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt? And they came to a point where there was, what, the Red Sea? Mountains are on the side. And then who's coming behind them? The Egyptians, horses, chariots, they're coming. And so Moses, he says to the people, hey, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then he goes up to God and he says, God, what's going on here? What are you doing? And the people, hey, don't worry. God's got this under control. God, what are you doing? You ever feel that way? And what did God say to him? Why are you sitting here crying? Get moving. Remember, literally, that's what you, why are you here crying to me? Get moving. You know, Moses wanted to pray, but God said, ain't a time to pray. It's a time to move. Mary wanted to move, and Jesus is basically saying, it's not a time to move. It's a time to sit. And so, because she's not sitting, she not being ministered to by the Lord, she's distracted with much serving. And so she approaches him. Now, she's not only distracted, she's frustrated. Because she approaches him. So she's so frustrated that she can't control herself. You ever get frustrated, something's really agitating you, and the next thing you know, you said it, and then you thought, oh, why did I say that? Why did I do that? And then you're like, well, I'm committed now. She was frustrated, and you know why? Because she was getting, or had at this point, she had gotten very, very critical. In her mind, she developed such a critical attitude towards her sister and towards the Lord. And she was getting frustrated as she's thinking, I can't believe that Mary's just leaving me here to do all this work by myself. As if Mary was thinking, forget Martha. I'm just going to sit here. Forget her. I don't care about her right now. Jesus is here. You know, and sometimes we can get that way. We can get critical, and we start thinking we're critical of somebody, of a person in the body of Christ. We start getting critical, and we start thinking of them almost as if they are doing this stuff on purpose. I guarantee Mary was probably not even thinking about Martha at all, not in that way. She was probably just being ministered to by the words of our Lord. And so Martha, she is no doubt being critical. I can't believe she's leaving me here to do all this work. And she sees all these people here. What's wrong with her? And it's bothering her. And then she's like, I can't believe he's just letting her sit there and not saying anything to her. Doesn't he care? And so she goes, so consumed with criticism and frustration, and she interrupts the study. She goes, I don't know what that looked like, but there was a lot of people there, and I'm sure she didn't say, hey, Lord, can you come in the kitchen? I want to talk to you, just private. Frustration doesn't do that. She's lost self-control. And she feels so emboldened because she's being moved by her emotions. She just goes right in and she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me. Man, imagine how that room dynamic changed. And think about Mary. I mean, if I was sitting there and somebody came in the room like that, I would have been so embarrassed. Wouldn't you have been embarrassed? I would have been thinking, Martha, what's kind of into you? Here, relax. Give her a towel. Wash your feet. Let her sit down for a minute. Listen to what Jesus has to say, because whatever you're doing, it ain't working. But she just goes, and now she says, Lord, and she, in a sense, is directing him. And so, man, we learn a lot from what Jesus says. He answers to her, Martha, Martha. I don't think he seems flustered at all. He's just like, you poor thing. You did this all to yourself. I mean, I never asked you to do anything. And I know you have the right desire. You're trying to prepare and take care of all. But did you hear the story that I was able to take 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed the thousands of people? I'm not worried about the food right now. That's not priority right now. Martha, Martha. And he doesn't respond to her frustrated or angry or upset, but he does correct her. And you know, and I love when godly individuals, and we all do this, We all make mistakes and we can learn from them. How many of you have made mistakes recently? Awesome. Well, tell you what, I'm going to give each of you 3 minutes because I want to know what those mistakes were. And it'll be great. Today's going to be a long service. But isn't it great when you make mistakes and the Lord is merciful to you? Amen. And he says, David, David. You know I love you, right? This is coming from a place of love, David, David. You know, all the times that the Lord repeated a person's name, all of the times it was people he had relationships with. Except for one. But he had a relationship. You remember going back, and I believe Jesus oftentimes was the one ministering in the Old Testament. He said, Abraham, Abraham. Remember that?
Yeah.
He also said, Jacob, Jacob. He also says, Moses, Moses. He also said, Samuel, Samuel. Oh, great men of God. And you remember he said, Simon, Simon. Now, all of those were individuals that God loved and he was working with. And then there's another one that God loved. His name was Saul, Saul. And in that moment, he wasn't a believer and he said, why are you persecuting me? But Jesus was extending to him grace. Amen. Here is an unbeliever. Jesus is extending grace. And that unbeliever became a believer. And I wonder how many of you, perhaps, the Lord's been calling you by name. You haven't made a commitment to Christ yet, or you haven't responded to the gospel yet. You haven't surrendered your life yet. But God is being gracious to you. And you're here today, and he's saying whatever your name is, he's saying your name. He's repeating your name. And he's reaching out with grace and saying, come on, follow me. I implore you by our Lord, in these moments, finally surrender and follow Jesus. And so he says to Martha, 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 and look what he tells her, you are worried and troubled about many things. You're worried and troubled about many things. He's letting her know that, you know, there's a reason why you are in the state that you're in, the state of being distracted, frustrated, critical. You can't control yourself, emotional, worried, troubled. It's because you lost your focus. You're not sitting when you should be sitting. But one thing is needed, and that's hearing from me. That's being ministered to by me. And your sister, Mary, she discerned what time it was. There's a lot of time to serve, tons of time to serve. But this is not the time. She discerned the time. And she chose. And see, this is what disciples do. Disciples choose. It's a conscious effort to take the time to sit and be ministered to by the Word of God. It's a choice. And so often the Lord will say, David, David, come. Sit. Hear from me. A matter of fact, turn real quick to what he says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Look at, this is the byproduct of sitting. and learning from Jesus, or hearing his word and being ministered to by his word. Look in verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, notice this, rest. Take my yoke upon you, and notice what he says, learn from me. That's so important. You know, some of us are learning from a commentary. Some of us are learning from a book, but not the Bible. Some of us are learning from a podcast. Some of us are learning from YouTube. But Jesus says, learn from me. Now, I'm not saying all those things are bad, but those things have their place, and it's not a primary place. Those are secondary tools. There's nothing like spending time in the Word personally. Doing what we're doing here. We're doing it corporately. And when we're not on schedule, some of us are serving. There's nothing wrong. If you're on a schedule on a Sunday, serve and do it with your whole heart. But when you're not serving in the fellowship, you should be sitting and be ministered to by the Word. People who can't sit, something's not right there. It's an indicator that they're probably not spending too much time learning from him. Maybe learning about him, but not learning from him. And you know how, you will know how you're, when you're learning from him, is because, look what he says, for I am gentle. Lord, don't you care that she is not helping me? Tell her to help me. That's rough, isn't it? But Jesus is not like that. And lowly in heart, humble. And notice this, and you will find rest for your soul. What was Martha missing? She had no soul rest. Her soul was not at rest. Her soul was agitated, frustrated, troubled, worried. And that was because she should have been sitting instead of serving. But back in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus says that Mary has chosen that good part. Mary made the right choice. She discerned the time. And so he says, I'm not going to tell her to get up and help you. And maybe, it's not in the text, but maybe he's insinuating, why don't you take a seat? Why don't you take a seat and learn from me? So what are the signs? What are the signs? You probably picked them up already. What are the signs that a person has lost their focus and they are not spending time doing that thing that is needful? Well, when a person is not learning from him, they're troubled. Their soul's not at rest. There's no peace. They're agitated. They're worried. They get frustrated easy. They're distracted. They're critical. Those are just a few. And that's no way for a Christian to live. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came to give us peace. He says, my peace I give unto you. Remember when the disciples were troubled, when he was telling them that, you know, I'm not going to be here much longer. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Remember what Christ said through the Apostle Paul, be anxious for nothing. And so when a person spends time sitting, they're at peace. And I'm a firm believer, and I live this, and I'm sure many of you do too, that there is nothing that comes into our lives that we can't handle when we're spending time with Jesus. You know whose voice is speaking very loud here? And she didn't say a word. Mary. Mary, she's saying a lot without saying a word. And you know why? Because she's at peace. She's sitting and being ministered to by the word. And when you are sitting and being ministered to by the word, there's no need to retaliate. There's no need to defend yourself. Because you're at peace. And so, with all that being said, where are you? Where are you, Christian? Are you troubled today? Are you worried? Are you distracted? Are you frustrated? If that's the case, I would encourage you, take some time to spend with Jesus. Allow his word to minister to you. And put all other distractions aside. Focus on what really matters. This time is short. And the more that you focus on what matters, and that's spending time with the Lord, making him the priority, the more at peace you'll be. And then from there, you can serve with peace in your heart. Now, I don't know who this message is for, but I just shared with you the key to overcoming trouble and worry of heart. But it's up to you whether you're going to believe it or not. You could say, oh, that's too simple. You mean just sitting at Jesus' feet and spending time with Jesus is going to cure my worry and anxiety? Yes, I do believe that. You just keep at it. You know, Martha learned a lesson. Later on, when Martha's serving, she grew. There's no complaints. And just goes to show us, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can learn how to control this vessel. And Jesus, when I learn from him, that's how I will be able to control this vessel. He will help me. He will help me. I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he's available 24/7.